Well, Miss Lena Berg, thank you for writing that song. That's a good song. Ephesians chapter 2 tonight in your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And just one verse of scripture here. Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Well, it's bad to be without money. We've all been there. It's bad to be without your health. We've all been there. It's bad to be without a home. I'm not talking about a house. I'm talking about a home. It's bad to be without a home. It's bad to be without friends. But it is infinitely worse to be without Christ. And I want us to consider that this evening. So first of all, who is without Christ? Well, first of all, a man who has no head knowledge. 9 billion people on the face of this planet, and certainly more than half of those 9 billion have never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. They are completely ignorant of Him. Ignorant simply means they don't know Him. They've never heard His name. There was a fella that was in Roseburg, and he talked to me one day. The fact is, he accosted me one day, and he says, "Kim, I don't understand this thing about missions. Why you send missionaries and they go to another country?" And he just went into missionaries. He said, "Why don't you just leave those people alone? They're happy. They have their own way of living. You come and you start telling them they can't do this and they can't do this. And why don't you just leave them alone?" Let me tell you why we don't just leave them alone. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's read verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It's talking about everybody on the face of this planet. God has made Himself known to them. I don't understand it all, but because of that, they are guilty before God. And that's the reason we send missionaries. That's the reason we support missionaries, is because we want to show them the plan of salvation, how they can go to heaven. Go with me now to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we'll read verses 8 and 9, and this is talking about John the Baptist here. Well, I'll break it down. It's talking about the Lord, of course, but John the Baptist. "He was not that light." That is, John the Baptist was not that light, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light," speaking about Jesus Christ, "which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Ladies and gentlemen, everyone is without excuse before God because God has made Himself known to us all. Jack Baskin was a good missionary. He was in Korea for years and years, and Then he did a lot of evangelistic work here in the United States. But he used to make this statement. He said, "Have you ever seen a heathen die? They die without any hope. They die without any peace." He said, "Have you ever seen a heathen die?" So, second of all, a man who has no heart faith in God. They know all about him. They could live in the United States. The United States, a land of opportunity, but the greatest opportunity anybody has of living in the United States is to hear the gospel and be saved. Okay? Here's somebody who lives in the United States. They hope to get to heaven because they are moral and religious. When you go to Matthew 25, there's 10 virgins in that chapter. They all have the same morality, but five have oil in their lamps and five do not have oil in their lamps. It is talking about, it is a metaphor for having the Holy Spirit, the oil of God in your life. Nicodemus, if you're in John chapter 1, just turn the page and let's go to John chapter 3 and let's read about Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, verse 1, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." You've got to be born again. Third, a man in whose life the work of the Holy Spirit cannot be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very plain. You cannot separate faith and repentance. You can't separate the kind of repentance, the kind of change that you have towards the Word of God and the Spirit of God from works. Faith without works is dead. You understand that salvation, and I want to say this right, is a threefold process. First of all is justification. That's being born again. That is done in an instant. You are saved and you are secure forever. But then the next part of your life is one of sanctification. It is God setting you apart for service. The Bible says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Period. Okay? Now go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to close out the Sermon on the Mount here. We're going to begin reading in verse 21. And you know this portion of Scripture very well. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, or we understand it better, the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which has built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. John wrote 1 John so that we might understand eternal security, and that we might understand how we can know that we are saved. Let's read some of the verses. Let's begin in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And folks, John was a very plain speaking man. He just said the truth in very easy to understand words. 1 John chapter 2 verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, we keep his commandments. That's how you can know that you're going to heaven, if you keep his commandments, okay? That doesn't get you saved, but if you are saved, that's going to be the direction of your heart. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9 through 11. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eye. Now, let's go to verse 15 in this chapter. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John was a plain speaker. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that is the desire to be, and the lust of the eyes, the desire to have, and the pride of life, the desire to do, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Chapter 3, verse 14. You can't get any more plain than this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at verse 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's goods and see his brother have need and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's pretty plain, folks. And that speaks to every one of our hearts this evening. It's the truth from the Word of God. Second of all, so what is the actual condition of a man without Christ? First of all, that man is without peace. Isaiah chapter 57, please. Isaiah chapter 57. Look at verse 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. A man without Christ is without peace. Christ's death was an actual payment to God for my debt. Here's what David said. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Not only are they without peace, but they are without hope. You've heard it. I've heard it many, many times in my life. You ask the question, are you going to heaven when you die? You know what a lot of people say? Boy, I sure hope so. There is no hope without Christ, folks. Not good works, not sincerity. There's no hope for people without Christ. To be without Christ would be like Noah without the ark. There's no hope for Noah without the ark. Poor children without food and clothes and shelter on the brink of destruction. No hope for them. To be without Christ, there's no hope. We know someone without Christ. And so the question is, what are we doing about it? We know somebody without Jesus Christ. What are we doing about it? God help us. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for saving our souls. We understand, dear Father, we are just sinners saved by grace. But that grace brings a great deal of responsibility to us. We want others to go to heaven. We want to live a life that is clean and pure before those we love so that we might influence them for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us. Dear Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to our heart. and drawing us to the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.